Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Minnesota House of Representatives Transportation Finance and Policy Committee. My name is Frank Hornstein. I'm the chair, and our first item of business today will be to take the roll to establish a quorum. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein.
Present.
Hornstein, present. Vice Chair Cagle.
Present.
Cagle, present. Representative Petersburg.
Present.
Petersburg, present. Representative Barr.
Present.
Barr, present. Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Elkins. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Frederick, present. Representative Hausman.
Present.
Hausman, present. Representative Heinrich.
Present.
Heinrich, present. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, present.
Kosnick, present. Representative Mason. Representative Mason. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Murphy, present. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, present.
Nelson, present. Representative Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Richardson.
Present.
Richardson, present. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, present.
Torkelson, present. Representative West.
Present.
West, present. There is a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Dodge. Our next item of business is approval of the March 4th minutes for this committee. Representative Petersburg, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the minutes of the March 4th meeting. Thank you.
The minutes are moved. Is there discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, the motion prevails. Members, just by way of an announcement, we do have House File 1163 on our agenda, and it is a very, very important bill, and we want to make sure that we allot enough time for all the testifiers that have signed up to testify, and also for committee debate and discussion. There are amendments as well. We hope to get through the bill in our allotted committee time, which expires at 2:30 promptly. If we're unable to get through the bill discussion and amendments and come to a vote before then, we do have time scheduled through House Media Services at 5 p.m. So there will be a reconvening at 5 p.m., but only under the condition that we do not get through our agenda. There are some minor bills after this. We can continue those. We don't need to go reconvene at 5 p.m. for those bills. But our main item of business today is House File 1163. And I will move House File 1163 to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. I call upon the author of the bill, Representative Winkler, to present the bill. Representative Winkler, welcome to the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee, and we're very excited to have you and very excited to hear this important bill once again this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee, for taking time to hear this bill today and for your attention to something that has for too long been left undone. Today in Minnesota, we require people to show evidence of immigration status in order to apply for a driver's license, take a driving test, and be able to buy car insurance to safely operate vehicles on the road. The current policy not only undermines safety on the roads, it also undermines our economy, and it in some ways undermines public safety as a whole in Minnesota. The bill before you allows people to take a test and pass it and get a driver's license without using documents to show status under our immigration laws in order to get the license. 15 other states have this law in place or a similar law to it. And when those states have enacted it, they have seen decreases in hit and runs, decreases in people driving without auto insurance, including New Mexico saw its rate drop by 24%. Utah it dropped by 20%. So we know that in Minnesota, by enacting this law, we will be improving safety on the roads and helping all Minnesotans have confidence that if they are involved in an accident, that their insurance will be covered, or they'll be covered by insurance themselves or another driver. More importantly for me, we have 30,000 U.S. citizen children in Minnesota who have at least one undocumented parent. That means there are 30,000 Minnesota kids who are U.S. citizens whose parents can't take them to sporting activities, they can't take them to school, they can't take them to the doctor's office without risking deportation. Minnesota and throughout the state, not just in any one community in the metro area, but throughout Minnesota, we rely on immigrants to revitalize our economy, keep our communities growing and strong, and immigrants contribute hugely to our success and our future, and we'll continue to support our future in Minnesota. And yet we have a law that prevents so many of them from getting access to a driver's license. House File 1163 writes that, it corrects that, it provides an opportunity for people to be able to be safe and to do the right thing. We have support from the business community, we have support from agriculture, we have support from many in law enforcement, we have support from faith leaders, and it is really time for Minnesota to do this. I know that this bill has attracted bipartisan support before, and I want to say at the outset, my goal is to get a bill passed into law, not just to make a statement. We know that we will need Republicans in the Senate to support this bill. And to do that, we will need Republicans in the Minnesota House to show that this is something that is good for local communities. So I, in that spirit, hope that you will listen to the testimony today and look forward to discussing with you amendments that have been filed and I expect to be offered, and looking for a way forward together on this issue. And with that, Mr. Chair, I think I think testifiers should come forward.
Thank you very much, Representative Winkler. I want to add my note of thanks personally to you for your hard work on this. Many members over the years have addressed this issue, and members of the community, and I hope this is the year we can finally make some important progress on it. So your work is very much appreciated. I am just for members of the committee, we are going to hold questions until after the testimony. If you have any questions of the testifiers or of the author, we can take them at that point, and then we'll do amendments. And our first testifier is Lucas Sjorstrom, the executive director of the Minnesota Milk Producers. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, but welcome to the committee. And no, I didn't. Okay. Please state your name for the record correctly and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein and Representative Winkler, Vice Chair Cagle, Ranking Member Petersburg, and committee members. For the record, my name is Lucas Sjostrom. I've got the Swedish in me, and I'm Executive Director at the Minnesota Milk Producers Association, a member of the Agri-Growth Council. I'm also a partner in my family's dairy farm and cheese operation. Both Minnesota Milk and Agri-Growth are founding members of the movement for driver's licenses for all and support House File 1163. Minnesota and our agriculture and food employers have a labor shortage. Many jobs require many skills, and many others require hard work. And sometimes we look at those as two separate things. One of the hardest to find skills that we need in Minnesota is hard work, and I would call that a high skill. And one thing you'll hear in the debate over how to better accommodate workers, whether we're giving our future workers education, visas to bring people from elsewhere, or accommodations to get people into employment with incentives, is whether we want those low skills or high skills. And again, hard work, which many of those who would benefit from this license participate in the agriculture industry and on dairy farms with that very important skill. With that hard work, they're also willing to pass a driver's license test, pay money for insurance, and do all that's necessary to obtain that license so they can drive safely. But today, of course, some of them cannot do that. That limits skills from being acquired, commerce from being transacted, and a higher level of safety from being realized. So we want our families and employees on dairy farms to be safe and able to travel our state, whether to homeschool or work. And that goal can only be achieved when every driver on the roads has learned and passed driver safety training. And without this opportunity, that expectation is just not achievable. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Shorstrom. Our next testifier is Bishop John Quinn from the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Quinn, Bishop Quinn, and please state your name for the record.
My name is John Quinn. I'm the Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Winona, Rochester, here in Minnesota. I have come to the meeting today to speak on behalf of the Minnesota Catholic Conference in support of House File 1163. Opening our license system to immigrants will allow Minnesota to take action and to address one component of our broken immigration system. Our immigrant brothers and sisters need reforms to ensure that they are not confined to the shadows and to the margins of our society. We don't want them to be invisible. We want them to be visible to us. Absent federal comprehensive immigration reform, offering driving credentials is one small measure, but an important one for the state of Minnesota, so that we can employ not only those who are here, but will make our roads safer. It will make our communities more welcoming to immigrants who already make an important contribution to the economic, cultural, and social life of our communities. Access to driving credentials will help immigrants meet their daily obligations. In many parts here of southern Minnesota, where I live, there is no public transportation. Undocumented persons have no ability to get to work or to church or access to health services or to school other than by driving there illegally. Every day, they live in fear of getting stopped. That could mean permanent separation from their children, from their spouse, or their parents. Allowing undocumented persons to obtain provisional driver's licenses serves the common good in several ways. Most importantly, public safety is promoted by having more licensed drivers on the road, whose studies have shown are less likely to be involved in fatal accidents and also are more likely to be insured. It is surely in the best interests of our state to have people who are living among us and driving in our roads who can do so safely and do so legally. Undoubtedly, I know immigration policy is complicated, and it brings out deep emotions. As we seek, though, to uphold the dignity of every human person, because they are created in the image and likeness of God, our Creator, we must not ignore the common good, particularly the reality that with rights and with privileges comes responsibilities. So thank you for your consideration and receiving my testimony. It's been my honor to be with you this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Bishop Quinn, and also a note of thanks to the faith community as a whole, particularly the Catholic Conference, but the faith community as a whole has played such a key role over the years in advancing this issue.
Thank you.
Our next testifier is Marco Kunzli, from a researcher at the University of Minnesota. Mr. Kunzli, welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
Hello, dear committee. First of all, I want to thank you for the invitation to testify. My name is Marco Kunzli, and I moved from Switzerland to Minnesota in January 2021. I graduated from the University of Basel in Switzerland and subsequently earned a doctoral degree in immunology. So I came to Minneapolis on a J1 visa granted with a national interest exception to work at the University of Minnesota in the laboratory of Dr. Massapust, who is a member of a nationwide vaccine research program from the NIH, and the laboratory is currently working on a vaccine against COVID. Therefore, I'm considered essential staff that needs to be present at the workplace in order to be able to do the research, and I cannot work remotely from home. I need to take the car to the workplace, and my foreign driver's license is only valid for 60 days upon arrival. And therefore, I wanted to get a Minnesota driver's license as soon as possible. Now, I understand that for security reasons, it makes total sense that we have to take both the knowledge exam and the driving skill test. However, it is extremely difficult to fulfill the requirements for the identification documents. My Swiss passport, my US visa, my DS-2019 form, my I-94 form, my Swiss identity card, and my Swiss driving license, so six documents, are apparently not enough documents for the DVS to allow for a clear identification of my person. From the list of secondary documents that fulfill their criteria, the only option that I have is to provide a certified original transcript from a school or a university that states my name and my birth date. And a copy of a certified transcript is not good enough. So it's extremely difficult for immigrants to provide this document and complete both exams within the 60-day period, as time is also lost with overseas shipment, with waiting for exam appointments, etc. And therefore, it almost makes it impossible to get a valid driver's license on time. So in summary, I support this bill because I think adjusting the document requirements will help immigrants to integrate faster, but at the same time, the security of the society will not be compromised, but rather improved. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much, Mr. Coonsley, for your testimony and your perspective. Our next testifier is Julia Decker, the Policy Director for the American Civil Liberties Union. Ms. Decker, welcome to the Transportation Committee, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Julia Decker. I'm the Policy Director for the ACLU of Minnesota, and I'm testifying today in support of House File 1163. People who would gain access to a driver's license or ID card through this bill but don't have proof of citizenship or lawful presence are more likely to be people who are already marginalized. Not every Minnesotan who is a citizen actually possesses proof of that citizenship or lawful presence. People with low income, people facing homelessness or unstable housing situations, victims of domestic violence or trafficking may not have the means or ability to access those documents. In addition, non-citizens may not have proof of citizenship or lawful presence for a number of reasons. Many applications for immigration status or even a renewal of an immigration status may take months to be fully processed, and that can easily leave a non-citizen without paper proof of their lawful presence. So this bill will encourage more Minnesotans, citizen and non-citizen alike, to go through the licensing process. And as previous testifiers have noted, all Minnesotans will benefit from increased public safety if more drivers are licensed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Decker. Our next testifier is Rabbi Jill Cremings of Congregation Bet Shalom. Welcome to the committee, Rabbi Cremings. State your name for the record.
Hi, everyone. I am Jill Cremings, and thank you so much for having me this afternoon. I am a rabbi at Beit Shalom Congregation in Minnetonka, and I'm also currently one of the co-chairs of the Minnesota Rabbinical Association, representing 42 rabbis across the state of Minnesota. And so I will keep my remarks brief and speak to this issue as a moral imperative for us to uphold the human dignity of all who live in our state. As the bishop remarked, we in Jewish tradition also teach that God created humankind in God's own image, and every human being in this world deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. the rabbis in the Talmud actually go so far to say that upholding the value of human dignity is the most important value in all of Torah. And so we believe as rabbis across the state of Minnesota that enabling all individuals to receive a driver's license is an act of affirmation and dignity. It's an act that says to people, we see you, you are part of our community, we honor you, and we respect you. And so I want to thank everyone for the opportunity to share these words from Jewish tradition with all of you, and to thank you for taking the time for considering uplifting this value of human dignity for all people who live in our state. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Crimmings, and also thank you to the Minnesota Rabbinic Association for all of your work over many years on this issue. Your presence is very much appreciated. Our next testifier is Mary Ann Quiroz. Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
My name is Mary Ann Quiroz. Magandang hapon sa inyo lahat. Ang pangalan ko si Mary Ann. Maraming salamat sa lahat ng trabaho niyo. I am a co-director of Indigenous Roots Culture Arts Center, as well as a member of FIRM, Filipinx Immigrant Rights and Racial Justice in Minnesota. I'm also a proud partner of MIME Movement, Minnesota Immigrant Movement. I have shared in previous testimonies that there are a minimum of about 20,000 people who identify as Filipino, Filipinx in the state of Minnesota. My family and I immigrated directly to these Dakota lands, specifically to the east side of St. Paul in 1989. Although our family entered legally with the visa and became temporary residents, unfortunately, not all of my siblings are documented today and do not have the necessary documents to obtain a driver's license. My sibling is not only a hardworking essential employee in the food industry, but also a valuable contributor to our society. Having access to a driver's license not only ensures safety for my brother, but for all of us. Your support and leadership is much needed to create equitable and safe access to our streets and highways. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Quiroz, and thank you for your perspective and sharing your brother's story. Our next testifier is Andrea Duarte Alonso from the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota.
Good afternoon. My name is Andrea Duarte Alonso, and I am a Greater Minnesotan. I work for the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota in the Worthington office. ILCM is a statewide nonprofit organization providing free legal services to low-income immigrants. I am testifying today in support of House File 1163. This legislation would make driver's licenses available to all residents of Minnesota who can pass a driver's license examination regardless of immigration status. I am the daughter of Mexican immigrants who have done various jobs while living in Minnesota, such as working in the poultry farms, food factories, and meatpacking plants. Ever since I can remember, my parents have had to wake up before dawn to make it on time to work due to far distances they may have had to travel. Many who they worked alongside were and still are undocumented. I am proud of the work that my parents and my community members do. They help build and feed this state and country. Farm workers and meatpacking plant workers today are recognized as essential workers. They need driver's licenses. If we support Minnesota's economic development, especially during this pandemic, we must support the people who make our economy thrive. The people who strengthen our state are immigrants, and many of them are undocumented. Many undocumented workers have lived here for decades. Their homes and families are here. More than 30,000 U.S. citizen children in Minnesota have undocumented parents. These parents have the same little daily errands as the rest of us, things we take for granted. Like going to the grocery store, getting diapers for the baby, or picking up a sick child from school when the nurse calls. Out here in rural Minnesota, we do not have buses and trains to get to work or to the grocery store. We all need to drive. That's essential for us and for our communities. For the sake of undocumented workers, but also for the sake of all of us in rural Minnesota, I ask that you vote for House File 1163, Driver's Licenses for All. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Duarte Alonso, and for the work of the Immigrant Law Center over many years on this issue. Our next testifier is Josefina Flandes, and I understand there's an interpreter, so we want to make sure that we hear the phrases and then a pause. Welcome to the committee. Bienvenidos, and proceed with your testimony, and then also we'll have the interpreter as well.
Buenas tardes a todos. Buenas tardes, señor presidente, miembros del comité. Muchas gracias por permitirme participar y dar mi testimonio.
Good afternoon, president of this committee. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for welcoming me this afternoon for to share my testimony with you.
Mi nombre es Josefina Flandes. Tengo viviendo más de 20 años en Minnesota. Recientemente resido en la ciudad de Mankato. Tengo 4 hijos graduados de la preparatoria, 2 de ellos con altos honores.
My name is Josefina Flandes. I've been in Minnesota for over 20 years, and lately I live in Mankato. I have 4 children, graduated already from high school, and 2 of them with honors.
Mi esposo y yo hemos luchado mucho para lograr que nuestros hijos se graduaran. Mi esposo fue deportado en junio del año pasado. El día de la graduación de mi hija, que se graduaba con honores.
My husband and I have fought really hard to support our children and see them graduated. But my husband was deported on June 2019, the same day my daughter was graduating with honors from high school.
Mi economía se ha agravado por la falta de una licencia de conducir. He tenido que rechazar los trabajos que me han ofrecido por falta de una licencia de manejo. No tenemos transporte público aquí en este lugar.
My economy has suffered from that event of my husband being deported. I don't have a driver license then. I cannot help and provide for my family. I have to turn down offers to work because I cannot drive to places. And as you know, where we are in Mankato, we don't have public transportation to be used.
Mis hijos han tenido que parar de tener una vida normal independientemente de la pandemia. Han tenido que dejar sus estudios escolares para ponerse a trabajar.
My children, and that's independent of what is happening with the pandemic, had to interrupt the studies and start working to help our family.
Solo tenemos un solo vehículo para 4 personas, perdón, para 3 personas que están trabajando. Yo no puedo manejar, no puedo adquirir un vehículo más, no puedo pagar una aseguranza por la falta de una licencia de manejo.
I myself, we are 3 people working in our house with only 1 car. And myself, I cannot drive, I cannot buy another car, I cannot access insurance for a car.
Esto ha causado mucha depresión, ansiedad, problemas seriamente económicos en mi familia, que día a día está tratando de salir adelante.
These circumstances have caused our family a lot of depression, anxiety, and severe problems with our economic status right now.
Si tuviera la oportunidad de tener una licencia de manejo, sería más fácil para mi vida, sería más fácil para mí poder ayudar a mis hijos, para mis hijas, que ellos puedan regresar a su escuela, a sus estudios universitarios, a los cuales ellas han soñado toda su vida y a los cuales ellas trabajaron por muchos años. Ellos se graduaron con honores. Ojalá que ustedes aprueben este bill. Muchas gracias.
If I were to have access to a driver license, my life would be so much easier. I could that way help my children, and in turn, they could return to their studies at the university, something that they cannot do right now. That was always their dream. They worked so hard to get to the university level. And I hope that you approve this bill that will help a family like mine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Ms. Flandes, and for the interpretation, excellent interpretation, Ms. Valdecantos. Your presence here and your story is very much appreciated, very moving and very impactful. Thank you so much. Our next speaker also will be speaking through an interpreter. And I'd like to call on Mara Lopez.
Buenas tardes, Dios les bendiga a todos. Mi nombre es Mara López, tengo viviendo 20 años en Minnesota. Recientemente vivo en la ciudad de Madelia. Tengo 3 hijas y 2 nietos, de los cuales me siento muy orgullosa porque ellos han podido culminar sus estudios en el college con honores también.
I'm assuming that I continue to interpret, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Uriel Espinoza is on the call. My understanding was that Uriel would be interpreting, but is Uriel of Espinoza on the call? If not, then if you're available, you can continue your interpretation.
Okay, sure. Let me ask Mara just one question I didn't get. Mara dijo tenía 3 hijas
y 2 nietos.
Okay. Okay. So my name is Mara Lopez. I've been 20 years in Minnesota. Recently, I live in Madelia, Minnesota, and I have 3 daughters and 2 grandkids. And they also graduated with honors.
Actualmente trabajo en casa cuidando niños. Por falta de una licencia de conducir, he tenido que crear mi propio trabajo en casa. Soy una líder voluntaria independiente muy activa aquí en mi comunidad.
Because I don't have a driver license, I had to create my own work at home and I take care of children. I'm also a leader in my community and always glad and always helpful to everybody that needs help in my community.
Vivo constante con miedo todos los días porque mi esposo sale a trabajar sin una licencia de conducir, ya que él es nuestro sostén, él provee todo lo necesario para darnos una mejor calidad de vida a cada uno de sus miembros de la casa.
I always live in fear because my husband is the one that ventures out to get the things we need as a family. And every day I live with this fear that he may not be able to come back.
Como dije antes, soy una líder comunitaria. Yo me arriesgo en altas temperaturas en muchas ocasiones para ayudar a mi comunidad llevando comida, llevando ropa, lo que necesitan de ayuda. En la pandemia, por ejemplo, tuve muchas llamadas en las cuales me llamaban para que yo pudiese llevar a la gente a los hospitales, pero lamentablemente no me atrevía porque no tengo una licencia de conducir. Tenía que buscar otras personas para depender de ellos.
As a community leader in my city, I'm always working to help my community. I provide food for people that may need food or clothing. During this pandemic, I've received a lot of calls from people asking me to help them get to the hospital, but I couldn't do that. I would have to rely on other people that have driver license to do this work of helping.
Hay muchos momentos que me siento impotente por la falta de tener esa licencia. Otra cosa fuera si yo pudiese contar con esa licencia de conducir para ayudar más a la comunidad y a las personas necesitadas, sobre todo a los ancianos.
I feel powerless not having a driver license. If I could have it, I could help even more people in my community, and especially the elderly that live by themselves and cannot find other helpers.
Si ustedes escucharan estas historias que son verídicas y que son reales, sería bien beneficioso para cada uno de nosotros que ustedes nos permitieran tener esa licencia de conducir. Y yo les pido que voten a favor de esa propuesta. Licencia para todos. Muchas gracias por escuchar mi testimonio.
It is my hope that you listen and take into account all these stories, that they're all true. It comes from all of us. And I really truly ask you that you vote in favor of this driver licenses for all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Lopez, for, again, your very, very important testimony. And your stories are very impactful and meaningful to us. Thank you. Our next, and again, thank you so much, Ms. Valde Cantos, for translating for both of the important testimony that we heard. Our next testifier is Jovita Francisco from the Minnesota Immigrant Movement. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Francisco. Nice to see you again, and please state your name for the record.
Kimiri Rizenguetskehi. Hola, buenas tardes. Good afternoon. My name is Jovita. I live in Minnesota for more than 25 years. I have two citizen children. I grew up indigenous town in Mexico with my parents, a grandmother, and a great grandmother. Our native language is Mazahua. I, along with my sister, niece, and aunt, crossed the border in the United States when I was 14 years old. I didn't know that I was coming in here in the United States. As soon as I arrived, I started hearing derogatory terms, people calling me illegal, job stealer, and many other harmful terms. Unfortunately, I still deal with that today. And those are people who don't know me or all the work I've been done Minnesota for Minnesota. If they did, they would know that I'm a good person. They will know that I'm a good community leader. They will know that I'm essential as a frontline workers at the food shelf, and that I'm a mother of two amazing children, one of which puts her life in the line every day for all of you. In 2007, my children were 9 and 11 years old and were in the school bus when the 35W bridge collapsed. I felt the tragedy with the rest of Minnesota as a result of that. My children were injured and hurt from that trauma. My children need rights to clinic appointments and therapy appointments, to school or English class, as I was learning in that time too. And I made sure they also volunteer in the community. I made difficult choices to drive them. The choice was difficult as I did not have a driver license. I thank God every day that I came home every night safely and do not regret doing what a mother should do for their children in the time in need. My only regret is that there wasn't something in place to make my job as a mother easier. This story is similar to the other 100 Minnesotans directly impacted who are not here today because of the fears put on them. I overcame that fear, and I'm here today to represent them, and I hope you are not afraid to represent them as well. all we ask is that we are allowed to take the test and prove what we know how to drive safely in the street. Dear Republican legislators, knowing that support driver license for all helps all Minnesotans to be safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Francisco, for your testimony and sharing your story. Our next testifier is Brad Leto, the AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer. Mr. Leto, welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Good afternoon. My name is Brad Leto, and I am Secretary Treasurer of the Minnesota AFL-CIO, a federation of more than 1,000 local unions representing more than 300,000 working Minnesotans. The Minnesota AFL-CIO supports 1163. House File 1163 will strengthen public safety, improve accessibility, and expand people's freedom to provide for their families. While immigration might be a federal issue, it impacts people in Minnesota, people and communities across Minnesota, as you've heard, and those that you've just heard from and may hear more are much more eloquent than I. But House File 1163 is primarily a public safety measure. And, you know, as you've heard, in Minnesota's roads are safer with all this. But more so, people, as you've heard, always want to make a better life for themselves and their families. Access to driver's license helps build strong, inclusive, economically vibrant communities. Expanding the freedom to drive to immigrants encourages community involvement and creates a sense of belonging. Driving is a necessity, though, not a choice for the vast majority of Minnesotans' families. Having a driver's license allows a family the freedom to attend parent-teacher conferences, church, commute to work, and, as you've heard, just heard, go to the doctor with their kids. Immigrants are part of Minnesota's community's economy. Access to driver's license not only helps undocumented workers, but helps the communities in which they already live and work, as you've heard. And I just want to say that, you know, it's not often that the Minnesota AFL-CIO agrees with the Chamber of Commerce and the Agri-Gulf Council and everybody else. And we do, and in fact, I have spoken, this has been around for a while, and I've spoken at colleges, to classes, high schools, communities, along with chamber representatives on this issue. And so I will just, I ask members to please, respectfully ask members to please pass House File 1163. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leto. Our next testifier is Leanne Enigna, a teacher from Worthington. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me here and permitting me to testify. My name is Leanne Zins Enenge, and I'm here to testify. It's okay. Nobody gets it. I am here to speak in favor of House File 1163. I will probably not be the most important words that are spoken this afternoon, but I wanted to speak from my perspective. What came to my mind first when we were talking about this was, what is the purpose of a driver's license? And that was my first question to myself. Are driver's licenses issued purely for an identification document? Or are they really a license to drive? Something that indicates that the holder has learned the laws of the road and knows how to operate a vehicle. The latter purpose seems to make more sense to me from my perspective as an interpreter, a teacher, a citizen, and a farmer. However, we have given these driver's licenses the purpose of identification, and that seems to be the sticking point. Could we look at this a little bit more objectively? What happens when someone is denied a license because they do not have all the rights of a citizen? As a court interpreter for many years, this was an issue that came to court more often than I could count. Why did they drive without a license? They most often did it for survival. Do you see lots of public transportation, particularly in small and rural communities? No. There's seldom any means of public transportation here. How does one get to a job, particularly one that has long and untraditional hours? Walk? We don't need to have been in Minnesota for very long to know how few days of the year it is reasonable to walk to most destinations. What happens when a child gets sick at school? The school immediately tries to contact the parent to have them pick up the student. What if no one in the household has a license? A child has parent-teacher conferences. We expect the parent to attend, though that has been modified during the pandemic. How do they get there? The child has a program at school that parents are invited to attend. How will they participate in that program? Are these things only for those who are privileged to have a license? How do we expect any family to do the everyday things that we take so much for granted and better than life when we throw obstacle after obstacle in front of them? Make no mistake, the individual action of granting driver's licenses to those who pass the test will not immediately change everything in their lives. That's pie in the sky thinking. What we are asking for is to take just one of the obstacles away that we have thrown in front of people who are attempting to make a better life for themselves and their children. Why waste court time making criminals out of people simply trying to survive? How is this going to hurt us? Let's make the driver's license do what it was supposed to do. Identify that the person has passed the test and knows how to drive. The next thing is to figure out how we might identify people in another way. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify, and I ask for your support for House File 1163. It is important.
Thank you very much for your testimony and your perspective from Worthington. Our next testifier is Victor Torres, and he will also be speaking through an interpreter. Welcome to the committee. Is Uriel Perez Espinoza available on the call to translate?
Mr. Chair, I'm here, but Victor's son is going to testify or read the dad's statement.
Okay. Is Victor or his son available? We may come back to Victor if there's some connectivity problems, if that's okay. Mr. Perez Espinoza?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay, and I think you're also going to be translating for our next speaker. Is Shani Lisseth De Leon Kahl available?
Mr. Chair, Shani is in Worthington, and she is going to read her statement, and she provided me her testimony, and I have it here. So we will read it. I'll read it at the end.
Oh, okay. That's very good. Welcome to the committee, and then we can also have Mr. Perez Espinoza state the name for the record as well. But please proceed with testimony. Welcome. Bienvenidos.
Lizeth, puedes empezar a hablar.
Okay. Sí, hola, muy buenas tardes, presidente y miembros del comité. Gracias por dejarme hablar. Mi nombre es Shani Lisette León Cal, soy originaria de Guatemala y vivo en Worthington. Mi esposo y yo fuimos oficiales de policía en mi país. Desgraciadamente, mi esposo fue asesinado. Me intentaron asesinarme. Tres veces y tengo una amenaza de muerte. Por estas razones, tengo una petición de asilo político desde marzo del 2019.
El día 22 de octubre del 2020 manejaba rumbo a mi trabajo con otras tres personas en la autopista 90. De repente un carro me pegó al rebasarme, perdí el control, me pegué en el cemento del puente y quedé inconsciente. Tuve lesiones muy graves, estuve en coma 4 días, 20 días en el hospital y 3 meses en silla de ruedas. Aún sigo en recuperación. La policía nunca me contactó para tomar mi declaración. Tuve que pagar una multa de $200 por no licencia de conducir. Actualmente me quieren culpar por un accidente en el cual yo no tuve la culpa. Mi vida se ha vuelto más difícil de lo que era antes por la falta de una licencia de conducir. Tengo un hijo pequeño de 8 años conmigo y una hija en Guatemala que necesitan mi ayuda económicamente. Tengo prohibido manejar por no tener una licencia de manejo. Tengo deudas en el hospital. Sufro de trauma psicológico a causa del accidente y de la amenaza de muerte. Sin embargo, estoy luchando para salir adelante, para tener una licencia de conducir. Es más que una identificación, es la oportunidad de salir a trabajar y darle comida, ropa, estudio a mis hijos y la oportunidad de salir adelante. Gracias.
So I'm going to read her statement. My name is Uriel Espinoza, URIEL ESPINOZA. Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. Thanks for letting me speak today. My name is Shania Lizette De Leon Caal. I'm originally from Guatemala and I live in Worthington. My husband and I were police officers in my country. Unfortunately, my husband was assassinated. I was tried to be murdered 3 times and I have a death threat. For these reasons, I have applied for political asylum in March of 2019. On October 22, 2020, I was driving on Highway 90th on my way to work with 3 other people when a car passed by me and suddenly hit me. I lost control and crashed on the bridge, and I was knocked unconscious. I had very serious injuries. I was in coma for 4 days, 20 in the hospital, and 3 months in a wheelchair. I'm still recovering. The police never contacted me to take my statement. I had to pay $200 fine for no driver license. Currently, they're charging me for an accident that I did not commit. My life has become harder than it was before for the lack of a driver license. I have an 8-year-old son who lives with me and my daughter is in Guatemala who need my financial help. I'm forbidden to drive because I do not have a driver license. I have debts in the hospital. I suffer from psychological trauma from the accident and the death threat. However, I'm struggling to get ahead. To me, having a driver license is more than an ID. It's the opportunity to go out to work, to provide food to my children, clothing, school, and to give my children an opportunity to succeed in life. Mr. Chair and committee members, I ask you to vote in favor of File 1163, Driver Answers for All. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you for the translation and the very moving story that you shared with us, Ms. Lissette. Our next testifier is Pam Paragon from the City of St. Paul Police Department. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members.
My name is Pamela Berrigan, B-A-R-R-A-G-A-N. I am a St. Paul Police Commander for the Community Partnerships Unit. I work in law enforcement for 25 years, and I have been in this country for 30 years. My unit's mission is to intentionally be the bridge between our racially and ethnically diverse communities and the police department. We need to be in partnership with our residents to ensure everyone is safe. Therefore, on behalf of the St. Paul Police Department, I'm here to testify in support of the bill. Granting driver's license to immigrants could improve road safety and accountability. Individuals are typically required to complete a driver's education class, pass a driving exam, and take a behind-the-wheel driving test before obtaining a driver's license. During this time, the person learns to properly operate the vehicle, to interpret various traffic signs, and the rules of the road that make driving a safe activity. Knowing of driving laws and practicing can contribute to highway safety. Allowing all residents to obtain a license or state ID would promote public safety. Law enforcement officers may use driver's license or state IDs to identify the individuals they encounter. This can be eliminated. This can limit the need of officers to handle other identification documents. Law enforcement officers have the critical task of investigating crimes, responding to emergencies, and keeping the community safe. A state-issued identification document will help officers to be more efficient. In addition, these cards can be helpful for first responders in identifying people needing emergency medical assistance. These are real reasons that impact many lives. We as a collective have a responsibility to ensure public safety and financial responsibility by licensing and insuring as many drivers as possible. I urge you to pass House File 1163. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Berrigan, and thank you for your service. Our next testifier is Terry Tao from St. Paul.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for giving me the time to testify today. My name is Terry Tao. I'm a mother, sister, partner, community leader, and small business owner. I'm also really active in the nonprofit community and also in the community economic development field and live on the east side of St. Paul. I'm here to speak on behalf of many Asian American and Pacific Islander community members, many of whom who are afraid of being publicly identified as undocumented. It's estimated that about 1.7 million undocumented immigrants in the United States are Asian or Pacific Islander, which is one out of every six undocumented immigrants. It also means one out of every seven Asian immigrants and refugees overall is undocumented. So this issue of having a driver's license is really important, and we stand in solidarity with a lot of the communities that are here today also requesting the passage of this bill. When my family came to the United States, even though they resettled in 1976 in Chicago as Hmong refugees, they were not comfortable taking the system, and they had rather large families. So that meant they had to drive. And then when they moved to Minnesota, many of the jobs that were available to them were in manufacturing, were in the suburbs. So again, without cars, they couldn't drive and drive to their workplaces and access in order to support for their families. And so, and in a lot of ways too, driving also gave particularly a lot of women in our community freedom and independence that they often didn't have in their home countries. So not only does it mean about participating in our economy, it also means we need to do things that other testifiers have mentioned, pick up kids from school, take people to doctor's visits. What I also wanted to state that I don't think any other testifiers mentioned is that the lack of affordable housing is pushing families to live further out. So that makes driving a necessity in order to travel to get to anywhere. By not allowing undocumented folks to get a driver's license, it continues to keep them invisible and, as many folks have said, has public safety implications. I'm here in support of House File 1163 because I believe all Minnesotans should be free to drive safely and without fear. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Tao. Our next testifier is Imam Walid Shadi from Blaine and also affiliated with the Isaiah Organization.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me today. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Imam Walid Shadi. I am a core leader in the Muslim Coalition of Isaiah. So in Minnesota, we care for our families and for one another, regardless of where you come from or what you look like. In 2003, the politicians took away the immigrant access to driver's licenses to divide and distract us. Minnesotans have rejected the politics of fear and scapegoating immigrants. I urge you to approve the driver's license for all bill. To me, the core issue is about the basic human dignity of all people. Refusing to issue a state driver license for some people drives them to the ability to work or even move, and places them to a constant risk of arrest. In short, it deprives the people of a basic dignity. In the Muslim community, we have seen many people that are undocumented, who are very fearful to even drive and seek opportunities like all Minnesotans. This bill is a common sense. We need everyone to have a driver license so we can ensure safety within our roads. We know that immigrants in our Minnesota are our fellow workers and neighbors who deserve dignity and just treatment. These are our sisters and brothers who contribute to the well-being of our communities. Again, this policy is a common sense policy that makes everyone safer and is part of us living into our faith and having a good community. Remember, to obtain a license, drivers must have passing the test, the knowledge test and the road test, ensuring that they know all the rules of the road. Licensed drivers are less likely to be involved in a fatal accident or leave the scene of accidents, hit and run. They are more likely to have insurance that benefits every one of us. It is time to restore access to driver licenses for immigrants. We expect our elected leaders to stand up for the rights of all immigrants. And that is a part of us being a person of faith in Minnesota. And thanks a lot again for having me today to testify. Thank you. I'm supporting this bill, and please, I urge everyone to support it too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Our next testifier is Imam Ahmed Shaban from South Metro Islamic Center in Rosemont, also affiliated with the Isaiah organization. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you so much for having me. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Imam Ahmed Shaban, and I work as the Imam of the Islamic Cultural Community Center in Eden Prairie. I am also a clergy leader with the Muslim Coalition of Isaiah, and today I'm testifying in support of House File 63. As Minnesotans, we pride ourselves on our long history of caring for our families, caring for one another, regardless of our looks, our gender, or where we come from. Back in 2003, some politicians saw it fit to remove immigrant access to driver licenses as a way to divide and distract us. However, Minnesotans have spoken, and their words are to reject hate, fear, and division. And so today, we would like to support that. Many members of our community are negatively impacted by not having driver licenses. Those are parents who have to drive their children to work, to school, or people who work who need to take their who need to go to work, and this law unfortunately forced them to do that without having driver licenses. This law also engenders feelings of distrust and fear of law enforcement within our communities. Members of our communities are less likely to come forward if they have evidence or they're able to assist law enforcement for fear of repercussions. Allowing all immigrants to obtain driver licenses is a logical and sensible step towards making all Minnesotans safer. And it is part of living our faith and having a good community in Minnesota. To obtain a license, all drivers have to pass a test, a knowledge test and a road test. And this ensures that they know the rules of the road and they're able to drive safely and effectively in Minnesota. And this is does not make much of a difference if this was a license, a legal immigrant or an illegal immigrant. and licensed drivers are proven to be less likely to be involved in fatal accidents, and they're more safe on the road. They're also more likely to have insurance. They're more likely to come forward if they have evidence that can assist law enforcement. This benefits everybody. Respected members of the committee, it is time to restore access to driver licenses for immigrants. We expect our elected leaders to stand up for the rights of all immigrants and of all Minnesotans, and that's part of being a person of faith in Minnesota. Thank you again for having me today.
Thank you, Iman Shaban, for your testimony. Our next testifier is Pastor James Erlandson from the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in St. Paul, also affiliated with Isaiah. Welcome to the committee, Pastor Erlandson.
Thank you. My name is James Erlandson, pastor of Lutheran Church of Redeemer in St. Paul and a leader in Isaiah, a statewide interfaith organization in Minnesota. As a grandson of immigrants, whose spouse was welcomed as a refugee from Cambodia in 1980, I have come to testify in support of HF 1163, which would allow undocumented immigrants who live and work in Minnesota to obtain driver's licenses. Many of these immigrants, as we have heard, are essential workers in healthcare, childcare, food service, and agriculture, providing critical services during the COVID-19 pandemic. They are our neighbors who, like us, need to drive their children to school, go to work, the grocery store, or the doctor. Much of our work in the faith community includes bringing people together to make our community safer and make immigrants and new residents welcome. We are guided by the teachings of scripture, such as these. When an alien, a foreigner, or immigrant resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the immigrant. The immigrant who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the immigrant as yourself, for you were immigrants in the land of Egypt. So we aspire also to be good neighbors in Minnesota. Also, as Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as ourselves. The bill proposed in HF 1163 would make it possible for thousands of Minnesota residents to drive legally and safely without fear of arrest for driving without a license. This bill would also make us all safer on our roads and highways because of the training and tests required in order to obtain a license. The data protections offered in this bill would also give undocumented immigrants the confidence they need to apply for driver's licenses and remove the fear that keeps many in the shadows. For these and many other reasons, I urge this committee of the House to pass this bill to make our immigrant neighbors welcome and to make every Minnesotan safer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Erlandson. Our next testifier is Father Dale Carogi from the Church of the Ascension in Minneapolis, also with Isaiah. Father Carogi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Winkler, and committee members. I'm Dale Carogi, the pastor of Ascension Catholic Church in North Minneapolis, a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and a clergy partner with Isaiah. As the pastor of a tight-knit Latino immigrant community, I know how important it is for members from around the Twin Cities to gather regularly at our church, simply to see one another, catch up with one another, and have a meal, to speak a common language and share common interests and concerns. They're often relatives and dearest friends, having moved here from the same states and villages in their native Mexico, Ecuador, Guatemala. Participation in the life and sacraments of the church is the heartbeat of their week. It looks a lot like my Minneapolis childhood in a Polish-American immigrant parish. When any member is missing, we miss them, and they miss us. We understand that driving is a privilege, not a right, but there are some basic human rights that become complicated and compromised when one is not permitted to drive. Access to work and to food, to education and health care, having the means to make a livelihood and provide for one's family, to practice one's religion, and to be with family and friends. The daily rounds that most of us take for granted can be for them fraught with enormous stress, if not altogether impossible. Our society routinely grants the privilege to drive to teenagers, a coming of age. But we in Minnesota withhold it from responsible mothers and fathers in the immigrant community. While more comprehensive immigration reform may be out of reach at the moment, let's at least take this step in our state to recognize and respect the inherent human dignity of immigrant Minnesotans, our good friends and neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Father Kurogi. Perla Ramos is next. Ms. Ramos available? I did see her earlier. Perla Ramos de Justicia.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, oh. You're on.
Yes,
welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you for having me. My name is Perla Ramos, and I urge you guys to please all do something to help this bill to pass. My actual family passed for a situation where my family was divided. My husband was coming back from work, and for not having a driver license, he was put into jail. And that was the more difficult day of my life, because there was no reason for him to be arrested. He was just on the side of the road fixing a tire, a flat tire that he had after a long week of work. And then a state patrol came to him and then asked for documents. He didn't have any documents at the time, so he was immediately arrested. The report on the police report, it says that he was arrested for appearing to be illegal. So by not having a driver's license, it put us in a position where we can be detained and deported as soon as, like, in no matter of time. So I really urge to have our driver's license back so we can have better community effort to, we just want to be good. We want to do the best. We want to be better. We want the best for our families. And by taking away that license, it pushes us back. And then we live in fear. A lot of us have to work and we don't know if we're coming back because of our appearance of color or because how we look. And then we went through that situation, and it's just what thousands of people have to deal with every day, not just with the fear of immigration, but with the fear of being pulled over or stopped by minor situations and then we get pulled over. They ask for documents. We don't have them because whatever reason, and then we get put into ICE. And that's where our separation of families come as well. After 5 years of fighting for justice for my husband, I was able to get him a work authorization number. He was able to work, and he got a driver license. Otherwise, he wouldn't been able to do it. It's just something that we need every day. It's just something that we all need to survive. And then let's vote for the bill. I had to pay a lot of money for him to be released, drive more than 5 hours to get him out of the jail. And it's just not fair. And he was not even doing anything. He was just waiting for his boss to help him with a flat tire. And then immediately he was put into jail and then be on hold for ICE. I was lucky that I was able to prove that he was a good guy, that he was had a good character, moral character. He never had any issue with crimes or anything. He was he had a really good record. Yeah, it was devastating for our family. If he almost got deported if I didn't move quick or got all the papers or lawyers and things together about a bunch of money, we would have been separated, divided from our family. I have lived with my family for more than 20 years in Sinclair. I feel that this is my home, and I want to have the privilege of having a driver's license and don't have to worry about being pulled over and not having a driver's license. I want to do the best for my family, and we all want to be best and the better. And please support the bill.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ms. Ramos, for your testimony. Members, this brings us to the end, however, of our public testimony. However, I do want to circle back and see if Mr. Victor Torres has been able to join us. I know that we had some issues perhaps with connectivity earlier. Is Mr. Torres or his son available?
They last communication, but he sent me an email with his testimony. I don't know. This is Uriel. So I don't know how you read it.
If it's very brief, we can. Otherwise, we can enter it into the record because we have a few questions and other items we have to take care of for the bill right now. But if it's very brief, we can take it. I already see two questions from committee members.
Mr. Chair, be happy to send it.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Espinoza, and I'm sorry we had some connectivity problems. Members, what we're gonna do now is take questions of committee members, and you can direct those either to the author or any of the testifiers. I saw Representative Torkelson's hand go up first. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the author. Representative Winkler, we normally don't really pay too much attention to what's happening across the street in the other body, but you did bring up in your opening remarks that you felt that this was not being brought forward merely to make a political point, but because you thought it had a very good chance of actually becoming law. Yet, when I consulted the website, this bill has no companion in the Senate. Can you explain to me what's going on?
Majority Leader Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Torkelson, I don't expect this bill, if we can move it through the Senate, to go through the regular committee process over there. I think there are too many barriers to doing that successfully. We will introduce the bill. It will still fall on the House, I think, though, to try to put together a bipartisan bill and demonstrate to the Senate that this is something that they should be willing to take up. I expect, and frankly, this is as good an opportunity to talk about this as any. What I want to do with this bill is the motion is to send it to Ways and Means. I understand that Representative Koznick has an A1 amendment related to markings on the front of the driver's license. I'm inclined to accept the Koznick amendment. For the sake of continuing this discussion, I've heard in the last committee that there could be some bipartisan support if we add that language, and I'd like to try to do that. In addition, I'm going to make a request down the road that Chair Hornstein include a version of this in the transportation budget bill. And the goal is to get it to the point where at the end of session, this bill is alive for negotiations and to try to get it done. I think that's the pathway. And being very transparent about it, I think that's how it will work. And I don't know that this is a bill that we can pass through the Senate this year. I'm just saying that is the goal. The goal is not to make a point. The goal is to get it done.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Representative Winkler, for that answer. At least having a bill introduced in the Senate might lend it more credence. Mr. Chair, I have other questions, but we've already used much of our time today. My other questions really are regarding current practices with employees, and I'm not sure who can answer my question, but my question relates to how we handle those documentation of workers that are currently employed in the state of Minnesota that are unable to get a driver's license, and what impact this legislation might have on those transactions or issues of documentation. I'm not sure who to ask. Perhaps the author again might have thought about this question.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Torgelson, I guess a little bit more specificity would help me try to answer your question, and then if necessary, we can go to House Research for backup.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, certainly we know that there are workers, we've heard it many times today, that are working currently. Apparently they have presented some kind of documentation to their employer in order to secure employment, yet are unable to secure a driver's license. At the point at which this, if this would pass, if they could secure a driver's license, what will employers do? What will they be required to do? How does there seems to be a conundrum here.
Representative Winkler.
Representative Torkelson, this should not affect employers. The documentation, the primary and secondary documents required to get a driver's license, essentially we are taking out immigration status type documents as a requirement. That doesn't affect what employers are supposed to do or not do, or how this undocumented employer-employee relationship works in practice in Minnesota. I don't know it. I don't have firsthand knowledge of it. I just know that it exists and it happens. But having a driver's license with these documents that we are permitting to be used will not then create a form of ID that would satisfy federal tax purposes.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm concerned about the status not only of the drivers but of the employers. And the insurance enters into this, the employer's insurance. It seems to me there are some unanswered questions here that do need to be answered. And then one final question, if I might, Mr. Chair. We already have a backup in drivers testing and getting people licenses in a timely fashion. If this would pass into law and there'd be a flood of new applicants, do we know if DVS is prepared to handle this? They can't seem to handle what we have, the demand that we currently have in place.
Representative Winkler, I don't know if you would like to have Ms. Fassbender from DVS answer that question.
Mr. Chair, I think that would be the most useful.
Okay. Ms. Fassbender, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Hornstein. This is actually...
Oh, Ms. Corey is with us. Okay, Ms. Corey, welcome
yes,
to the committee.
Absolutely. Representative Hornstein, Representative Winkler, and members of the committee, certainly I can respond to that. We have... worked very hard this past year in the middle of COVID to meet the demands of Minnesotans, and actually with the consolidated exam station model, we were able to do more Class D road tests this past year than we did the year before, this past summer in the heart of COVID. So again, we continue to work hard towards meeting the needs of Minnesotans.
Any follow-up, Representative Torkelson, for Ms. Corey?
Mr. Chair, I know there are others that have questions this afternoon. That was not much of an answer as to how she might accommodate increased demand. We know that current demand is being accommodated by having testing stations spread out in distances that are really unreasonable, but I don't want to go on with that. I'm finished, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I believe that we have one more member question from Representative Mason.
Thank
Briefly,
you,
if we can.
I don't know. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I do want to thank all the testifiers. I have been through hearings on this legislation before, and it's not only very emotional for the testifiers, but for the audience as well. And the current situation we know is intolerable, not to mention unsafe. And if the stories alone aren't enough to move people to vote yes for this bill, then ensuring public safety certainly should be. I do want to thank Representative Winkler for carrying this legislation. It is so important. And if I have a question, how long before we get the job done?
I think that's a rhetorical question, I appreciate that. Members, you know, we have 5 minutes. We have five amendments plus an author's amendment. I don't see a path to getting done at 2:30. We have a hard stop. I don't think there's any flexibility. We did anticipate this potentially happening, so we will reconvene at 5, and I wanted to make sure that everyone who signed up to testify could testify. But we'll proceed. Representative Torgerson, is your hand up from previously, or is this a new question or point you wanted to make? Okay, maybe it is from the before. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just wanted to share a story of a woman I met recently, virtually, that lives down in southern Minnesota, and she's pregnant right now, and her driveway is a mile long, and her husband can't get a driver's license. He had come with a finance visa expired 90 days, and because of COVID and the Social Security office paperwork, his documents expired, and so now he has to wait another 8 months to get the proper driver's license documents that he needs. And she is expecting a baby, and so she's worried about if she's going to have to drive herself to the hospital while she's in labor. I had a C-section, and you're not allowed to drive at least 2 weeks after a C-section, and so she's scared for her family, her new baby. And so I just wanted to raise up, you know, these are real situations for people that they're dealing with, and I hope we can get this done. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cagle. Are there any other questions of the committee to the author or to any of the testifiers? If not, let's at least get the author's amendment in. you want to put that off, Representative Winkler?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I don't intend to offer the author's amendment today. That's a financial issue that I don't think we'll end up having to address. And if we do, we can deal with it in ways and means.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Winkler. We have a couple minutes. Representative Kosnick, do you want to
Mr. Chair?
Please explain? Representative Petersburg.
Mr. Chair, I think so. Let's deal with those amendments tonight when we have the full time to do with it. But I did want to just bring up, you know, something you and I just chatted briefly about, and that's whether or not public safety needs to do that. So maybe in the meantime, you can check with Chair Mariani to see. After all, this is going to impact the driver's license system, which is handled by DPS, as well as talking about the general fact of the financial or fiscal note indicating that it's going to be an issue, and because of how it impacts with interactions with law enforcement, et cetera, it makes some sense to go there. But obviously, being that you guys are in charge and chairs have that overall decision, maybe you could take time and ask him whether or not he wants to see this bill. It does seem to make sense to me that it might go to public safety before ways and means, but again, it's your call. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg, and thank you for sharing that perspective. And, we'll certainly consult with everyone who needs to be consulted with on that question. Representative Winkler, I very much appreciate your efforts here and all of the testifiers. We will continue this hearing at 5 p.m. Mr. Howe, can you just confirm that the access information for Zoom will be the same as it was at 1 o'clock?
Yes, it will, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Members, we will go through several amendments. We will debate those amendments. We'll have a final debate on the bill at 5 o'clock today. And until then, this hearing is continued. Good afternoon, everyone. We are now reconvening the Minnesota House of Representatives Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. And where we left off at 2:30 was a question from Representative Petersburg regarding the path of this bill. And that question, I believe, was directed to me, and I will answer that, Representative Petersburg. We have checked with the chair of public safety, and he is not interested in seeing this bill. And so that is why it is being routed towards Ways and Means. I don't know if you wanted to ask any follow-up or if the author wants to shed any additional light, but that was the that motion was in consultation with the
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it was worthwhile discussion. I mean, we see $267,000 going to public safety and another $70,000 for that. And because it's such a high impact to the staffing and so forth that public safety is going to have to be involved with, along with the idea that some of this information will have to be relayed and training to law enforcement, it just seemed like that would be a place that you'd want to hear it. But obviously, the chairs of majority are in control, and so we'll go from there. But I thought it was worth the ask.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. And, you know, I appreciated the question. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of jurisdictional issues here. You know, our committee, I think, is primarily concerned with the, you know, the driver's license portion of this, which is the main, really the main central policy, one of the main central policy and finance questions that this bill raises. So that's why transportation is critical that we hear it, and we'll head over to Ways and Means if we're successful today. Are there any other questions of members of the author or any additional discussion to the bill? We do have some amendments that we will be entertaining as well. And Representative Petersburg, continue.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to know about the process. Are you intending us to have some debate on the bill first before it's amended, or?
Well, you know, I think that normally we would, you know, ask the author any questions or if there's committee discussion of the bill, certainly. You know, really whatever members would like to discuss at this point would be in order. But we will have a thorough discussion of the amendments that are presented to us. So if members have questions or would like to discuss the bill prior to it being amended, you certainly can feel free to do that at this time.
I do have some questions then, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely, Representative Petersburg. Are those questions of the author?
Yes, please. I think so.
Okay.
Maybe some
okay.
For fiscal
well, we
staff.
Also have we also have experts from different state agencies. We also have House Research. So whoever you would like to answer your questions, please direct them as appropriate.
Sure. I have at least one for Representative Winkler, and then I think I have one for Andy Lee too. All of them kind of revolve around the fiscal note that we got here from the bill itself. And the bill itself has $267,000 from fiscal 21 that's going to the Department of Public Safety in fiscal year 21. And I'm just curious from the author, Representative Winkler, how did you come up with that number and what is the actual purpose of it? Because it's unclear in both the fiscal note or the bill itself as to what it's going to be used for.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Winkler.
Representative Petersburg. So it's a little bit based on the fact that we think this bill may change potentially with an amendment tonight, and based on what we have seen in past years, the A1 amendment that I understand Representative Kosnick would offer would likely incur some cost because of the markings change. And so it's to make sure that we are covering that, that we had that included. And that would then lead to a change in the fiscal note. But I think based on past years' experience, the amount of appropriation will likely fit the form of this bill once that amendment would go on.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm just not sure from specificity. I mean, it's coming out of this year's surplus, I guess, and would be utilized for that because it's a fiscal year 21. And we know that, so my follow-up question is to Andy Lee, and I may need to get back to Representative Winkler as well, but if Mr. Lee can kind of go over with us, you know, some of the things in the fiscal note, specifically on page 3, when it talks about the assumption of the number of people that are going to be taking the test and what the costs are not included in that, and then whether or not I'm hearing that there has been some change and maybe being revised as well. And so if we could get an update from him, I think that would be helpful.
Mr. Lee.
Certainly, Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, Andy Lee from House Fiscal Staff. I'll briefly kind of in background go over the fiscal note and try to answer your questions. So in members' packets, you should have received the fiscal note for House File 1163. Currently, the fiscal note has a $70,000 cost on it on the front page. Very quickly, I'll go through the components of it. If you look on page 2, there was, and this is some of the discussion of the revised fiscal note, on the fiscal note goes along with the sections of the bill draft. Article 1, Section 3, I think there was some interpretation issues with the department thinking that that notifications would have to be proactive, whereas the language in the bill, Article 1, Section 11, is more is forward-looking, so that the department wouldn't have to mail out notices. So part of what will change the fiscal note, as I've just been in conversations with the department and the LBO today, is removal of that mailing cost. Then going to page 3 are the assumptions following Article 1, Section 5, Section 7 and 8, and Section 9 and 10. Question of assumptions around how many people will be taking driver's tests are in the assumptions for Article 1, Section 7 and 8. The department lists the estimates there. However, the department is not requesting increased staff to cover those. Then the programming cost is in Article 1, Section 10. That's on the towards the bottom of page 3 of the fiscal note, and that's about a close to $48,000 programming cost, and so you can see that on the last page as well. So in conversation with the department, as I said, the department, I think, is planning to revise the fiscal note, and I guess if there's any questions of some of the assumptions, I think that either Emma Corey, the director of DBS, or Jordan Halthofterheide is on the call as well. I hope that's helpful.
Representative Petersburg, did you have a follow-up for either Mr. Lee or anyone from DBS?
Well, let me just follow that logic here a little bit and see if maybe somebody else can see something that's here. But according to the assumptions on the middle of page 3, the department assumes that there could be as many as 124,000 taking the actual behind-the-wheel tests. And in 2019, the department only issued 136,000 tests. That's almost doubling the amount of tests that are going. So even if you were to say, let's cut that in half, you'd still be increasing the road tests by 50% of what you did in 2019. Written tests aren't quite as high as that, but it's still quite a significant amount. And so I'm just questioning how the department can actually accommodate that with existing staff and other stuff when they're already having some, well, when they have had in the past, some issues. So even if the improvements, that seems to be a little bit tough to swallow. Maybe Mr. Lee could help me out with understanding how that can work and whether or not there's some assumptions wrong, or maybe even Representative Winkler.
Mr. Lee, it sounds like the first question was directed to you.
Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, I guess I would have to defer to the department in why they chose those assumptions and decisions on whether or not to request funds for that.
Representative Petersburg?
Maybe that would be better for if Ms. Corey is still online.
Well,
maybe
it looks like Ms. Fassbender has her hand up, so right. Why don't we have Ms. Fassbender respond to that?
Thank you.
Chairman and members of the committee, thank you very much. My name is Andrea Fassbender. I am the Driver Services Director for the Minnesota Department of Public Safety Driver and Vehicle Services. We did not request any staffing, mainly due to the fact that the amount of time it takes to train and to hire and train these temporary staff we would need for this initial implementation. We didn't believe that we would be able to get that completed in time for when the influx started. So we would try to accommodate with existing staff. We do know that that would be hard to do, but as I stated, with the time it takes to hire and then train the staff, it would be difficult to do in that time frame that would be impactful for this influx of people that would be coming in.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. You know that there's going to be an influx of new people you're going to use with the current staff, and you're saying it's not going to cost more. I'm just kind of grasping at the logic of that. How do you interpret that occurring if you know you're going to have more staff time to do the work?
Ms. Fassbender?
Chairman, members of the committee, with the time frame that we would need, that we would anticipate this influx, we would not be able to hire the sufficient staff and then train them as well. We definitely could do some math. The other thing we have, the other piece of this is estimating the number of people that would actually come in. You know, what would that actual impact be? We don't have any firm numbers of what the estimated number, the actual SPU, we think that would actually come in and apply. We definitely could put the fiscal impact or do an estimated of the staffing, but we don't anticipate that we would be able to get them onboarded in time for the initial influx, but we definitely can get those numbers for you.
Representative Petersburg.
Okay, I'll let that go, except just with my following comment. So it appears like there's the assumption that we have staff that aren't, that have more capacity than what they're doing right now. And so therefore we don't need to hire or deal with overtime or anything else in that regards, even though it appears from the fiscal note, and I'm assuming that you or your agencies had some input into the estimation of the fiscal note, that you're not going to need additional staff. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to debate that. I'm not asking for an answer. It just seems to make sense that we haven't really thought this through in regards to what it's going to cost to actually do the implementation, which, you know, if we decide let's go ahead, we need to provide for the funding for it too. So, and I'll let other people speak from after this.
Mr. Chair.
Majority Leader Winkler.
I just wanted to respond to Representative Petersburg to say that, you know, the bill may change further. We have an appropriation in the bill that we think will help with implementation that is different from the fiscal note, and we will certainly work this out so that it can be implemented. If we get to the point where we can get the support we need in the Senate to make this the law, we will absolutely work with the agency, and I'm more than happy to sit down with you, at least virtually, if nothing else, to make sure that we can implement this properly. I feel like a little bit have stepped into a long-running discussion in this committee about other issues, and I just want you to be assured that we are going to make sure that this works if we can get the bill passed.
Okay, thank you.
Majority Leader Winkler, your instinct is correct on that. We've spent quite a bit of time on driver testing, staffing, and backlogs. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm one of those victims, as you well know, that spent a lot of time in these issue areas. By the way, I'm having a hard time hearing Representative Winkler. I don't know if he needs to get closer to his microphone, but or if it's just my hearing. But so I did a little research in the interim here. I looked at what happened in California. In California, they opened 4 additional driver's license processing centers and hired about 1,000 employees and extended office hours to accommodate the influx. Now, we're not California. We don't have the same numbers, not even close. I know that. But the point is, there was a significant impact. This is a finance committee. We deal with finances. We should have this bill should be in good financial shape before it leaves our committee. I don't think we can expect this work to be done adequately in ways and means. If this is a serious effort to get this bill in the shape it needs to be in to be enacted into law, we need to do more work, in my opinion. But it's not my committee, Mr. Chair. I don't know if there's any answers to these questions, but it doesn't seem like the agency has taken it very seriously.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Is there any further discussion at this point to the bill? I think we'll probably return to discussion once amended, but if there are additional questions of the author or statements people want to make, it's appropriate now. And otherwise, we can start going to amendments. I don't see any other hands. So the first amendment is the A1 amendment from Representative Koznick. Representative Koznick, did you want to move your amendment and give the committee an explanation?
Thank you, Chair Hornstein and members. I do move the House File 1163 A1 amendment. The A1 amendment requires a license and ID card markings when the applicant has not proven U.S. citizenship or has an authorized temporary presence status. As stated on lines 2.7 and 3.22, the ID or license would be marked not valid for voter registration or voter identification. The purpose of this amendment is to uphold the sanctity of voting and enhance voting integrity. I would ask for member support for the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Is there discussion to the A1? And I'll certainly ask the author his perspective on it. But first, I wanted to see if there were any questions of the committee for Representative Koznick or any discussion. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I would just ask for support on this amendment as well. We've gone through some tumultuous times over the last year, especially, and there's always been concerns about voter integrity and so forth. And I think this just makes kind of a good faith effort to try to make sure that we maintain that piece of it. And so I think it's a good step in the right direction, at least at the beginning. And I certainly would be willing to work with Majority Leader Winkler later on as well, but I think this is a great vote, and I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Is there any additional discussion to the A1? I wanted to get, obviously, before we vote on it, Majority Leader Winkler's perspective on it. I don't see any other hands. Representative Winkler, your thoughts on the A1?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I have a very long answer. First and foremost, I want to be clear that a driver's license, Class C driver's license, does not entitle anybody to vote. We are not changing in any way the voting requirements. You have to be a U.S. citizen in order to vote, and an ID is not required to go to a poll. So at a foundational level, there is no intention whatsoever in this bill to do anything to expand voting eligibility or to make it easier for someone to vote who isn't allowed to do so. So that is the author's intention. I am willing to accept the A1 amendment, and I want to explain that there are concerns about adding language like this, but why it's worth the compromise. The concern is that people who will apply for and receive this license may well end up feeling like they are going to be treated differently because their driver's license identifies them as somebody who may not have presented documents to show lawful status in order to be able to vote. There's a concern that doing so in some way creates a second tier or a kind of marking that will mark the holder of the driver's license. So that concern is real. But I want to say that I think the compromise or something like it offered by Representative Koznick is worth it. First and foremost, I think every state that has passed driver's license for undocumented immigrants has had some kind of notation on the card indicating that it cannot be used for certain purposes. This is not real ID. This is not an enhanced driver's license. This proves nothing other than a person has taken the test and presented the required documentation. So I think it is worth it. I also know that, and as I said earlier in response to Representative Torkelson, the goal here is to try to find bipartisan agreement on a bill that can become law. And I'm hoping that by accepting this amendment, we can move forward with as much bipartisan support in this committee today as possible, and that you will recognize that I'm trying to work with you and put together a bill that can address all concerns about this pathway towards driver's licenses for every one who is eligible. So I would ask members to support the Koznick Amendment. I hope that it results in bipartisan support for the bill. That's my goal. And this is, I want to be clear for advocates that just adding this amendment and getting this bill out of committee doesn't make, obviously, to make the bill law, and it is far from the last stop that we will have for addressing any concerns about the specific language offered by Representative Koznick, or whether or not the bill finally passes the House. But for purposes of demonstrating that we want to get this done and that this is commonplace policy, I will accept the A1 amendment and ask members to agree to it.
Thank you, Majority Leader Winkler. Is there any further discussion to the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails, and the A1 amendment is accepted. Members, we have several other amendments. There is looks like in the next one I have is, hold on. There's an A4 amendment, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I believe, and I don't want to speak for the rest of the people, but I believe A2, 3, 4, and 4 are going to be withdrawn. So if the authors of them don't agree with that, need to speak up. But I believe we're going to withdraw all the others.
Okay. That's good. I think I do need to just procedurally ask individually that those amendments, you know, be withdrawn. It doesn't sound like we're going to have debate on it, but the A4 is withdrawn, and there's an A3 amendment. Is that also
withdraw?
Okay, please. And A2.
A2 would be withdrawn, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and then there's finally a DE1 amendment.
Mr. Chair, the DE1 would also be withdrawn.
Okay. All right. So, okay, great. Well, all of these amendments are posted, so one can peruse those at your convenience.
And Mr. Chair, could I, sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, Representative Winkler.
I have the author's amendment, which we said before we would be withdrawing, and it relates to the fiscal note. With the adoption of the A1, I believe the appropriation in the bill is closer to where the appropriation will finally have to be once that fiscal note is resolved. So. I'm stating again, I guess, that I'm not offering the change in the appropriation in anticipation of the A1 having gone on the bill.
Okay. So members, if you're following along, the A2, A3, A4, DE1, and A5 are not under consideration. And so we do have the bill as amended before us. Is there any further discussion to the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. I just have one other question, and it's maybe a legal question. I don't know anybody has the answer, but on the very last line of the bill, it talks about not allowing information going to any federal entity. And I guess I remember back when I had to deal with personnel issues, if the Department of Immigration Services came to the church where I worked, I had to provide them with information in regards to the legal status of our employees. And so I'm just inquiring as to whether or not that is legal for us to be able to exclude the federal entity from getting information that federal law says we have to. I don't want to put us in a situation where there's state law and federal law and entities, including the Department of Public Service, is going to break the law either way they go. And so I'm just inquiring as to whether or not that's actually true. If anybody knows.
Would the author answer that, or we do have House research as well?
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, first of all, I think it's worth stating the purpose of having the language in the bill is so that people who are applying for a license under these terms will have the confidence of knowing that doing so won't create a situation in which their information is shared for purposes of deportation. Otherwise, we would have defeated the purpose of the bill to begin with. I believe it is legal because it is a state-owned database, and absent some other federal law that preempts or trumps the state law would prevail. But I think if you want to more in-depth discussion of the kind of federalism questions, maybe House Research could address them.
Representative Petersburg, would you want Mr. Burris to amplify the answer that the author gave?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Only if he knows the answer. I'm just inquiring because I know that just because we own the database at church, we weren't given that authority to be able to exempt it from federal people. And so I was just curious. It does need to spend time. Maybe we can get that information sent to us later if somebody knows it for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. I did see Representative Torkelson's hand up earlier. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I assume we're getting close to the end of this. I want to just reiterate my concern that number one, this bill has not been financially properly vetted here in this Finance Committee, and it should be. And second, that this bill is not going to public safety. We've spent a lot of time around this issue talking about public safety. I realize you've contacted the chair. He's not interested, but it seems to me he should be. Public safety has been one of the hallmarks of this effort. It's been referenced multiple times. The author of the bill just a moment ago said the bill had numerous stops to make. I don't know if Ways and Means is one stop. It's hard to call that numerous in my book. So I want to express those concerns. I think this is an important bill. It's been around for a long time, but it's changed. It's changing. It changed again today. And we need to address it very carefully and adequately, both financially and policy-wise. It should go to public safety, in my opinion. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. I have Representative West next, and I see Representative Petersburg's hand up again. I don't know if that's an old notation, but I'll certainly call on Representative Petersburg again. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Majority Leader, for bringing this bill forward. And thank you for being willing to work with us to try and get it to a place where we can support it. And I do plan on supporting the bill. There's just I just want to go through this quick experience I had with this bill, and I came across it first when I was a legislative assistant, actually. Isaiah came up to my desk and scheduled a meeting with one of my members, and they had the meeting, and that member told them honestly that he didn't support the bill. And then later, Isaiah snuck past my desk to berate him into his office. And so that was my first experience with this bill, is I didn't like it. The people were incredibly rude and terrible to the member I was working for. And then they did the same thing to me when I was elected, when I was a member myself. But one of the members of Isaiah stayed after and apologized for their behavior. And then he actually had a meaningful discussion with me about this bill. And, you know, he actually convinced me, because I do listen. I pay attention. And with the change, with the adding the not marking for not voting, I think that's a good step in the right direction, because our voting system's so integral with our driver's license system right now with the opt-in. And I just want advocates to know is that treating us, we're not bad people. We're all on the same side. We want the best for Minnesota. And treating people who don't support your policies as enemies makes them less likely to support it. It was because of one of the members of Isaiah that I consider a friend now that I came around on this bill, and I think it makes a lot of sense. It's not like we can, you know, it's a federal issue to keep illegal immigration in check. It's not really a state issue. The people are already here, so why shouldn't they learn to drive? I think that makes perfect sense. So thank you for working with us, Majority Leader, and thanks for the time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative West. Representative Petersburg, I don't know if you wanted to add something else, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to just kind of close too with just some of my thoughts, because this is, as Representative West said, this really is an important bill and it needs to be addressed. And I thank Representative Winkler for bringing it forward and working with it. We will get it done, I think, sometime. But I do think that we're also kind of caught in the middle. The state of Minnesota is caught between you know, what needs to be done in the federal level and what has been done in the federal level. Think about this. It used to be driver's license was just about driving. But then we became to rely more and more onto identification. And matter of fact, Homeland Security made driver's license the main impact for real ID. And you heard Bishop Quinn earlier today talking about what we really need is federal immigration reform. Because the states are having to deal with the day-to-day issues of people struggling, trying to live a life that they want to, as you heard before. And this has just made it more of a challenge when the federal government has created all sorts of other problems. I don't mean to transfer the problem over to the federal government, but they certainly have been an impact into it. And so the issue that a lot of us have, going back to our constituents and so forth, is it just feels like, and it appears that the majority of people have to live by one set of rules, and then we make exceptions for the minority. And this may be one of the things that we need to do at this point, but it makes it difficult for some of us to be able to support that when we have others that are looking for some sort of equity. Whereas I don't think I could support it today. I would love to be able to work and continue to work on the bill and see if we can move forward with this in a way. So I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and work as well. So that was my final remarks, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
We'll have Representative Koznick, and then I'll make a couple of closing comments, and then we'll give the last word to Majority Leader Winkler. But Majority Leader Winkler, if you want to respond to anything that's been said up till now, please feel free to do so. Otherwise, we're obviously going to give you the last word. Representative Winkler.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to quickly respond to Representative Petersburg and say that I think the goal of this bill is to make it possible for people to be able to follow rules and rules that actually make sense for Minnesota. The federal immigration law is as complicated or more than the federal tax law. People get stuck and caught in the immigration laws in many, many ways that we can't even begin to understand. So I think we have made it almost impossible for people to follow the rules, and not just for immigrants, but for businesses who need workers, for communities that need revitalization. And I completely agree with you. This is something we need to see addressed at the federal level. But in the meantime, we have a problem in Minnesota, and this bill's goal is to address that problem here. You know, we'll all be better off if they could figure it out in Congress. But until that time, we have to make it possible for people to follow the rules here.
Thank you, Majority Leader Winkler. Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein, and thank you, members. Representative Winkler, thank you for accepting that amendment. That it was created based off the comments of the previous committee stop on February 26th. The members, the bill, as amended before us, at its core is a public safety issue. There are economic reasons, and this bill serves to improve the daily lives of families in each of our districts. The bill permits many who, upon passing a written and road safety examination, will make our driving experience safer. Additionally, having an ID helps with law enforcement issues and improves public safety. From a conservative standpoint, this bill enhances public safety, provides a hand up to encourage and help people to provide for themselves and their families. Allowing families freedom to more easily go about their day and achieve their highest God-given potential without fear. It keeps families together, and we know an important reason for non-citizens to remain here is because they have, over the years, raised a family, and they want to stay with their children and grandchildren. In fact, a number of years ago, I was renting one of my homes to a wonderful, happy, beautiful family. And one day, their oldest 15-year-old daughter called me to tell me that they had to move and go live with their aunt and uncle down the street because their mom was sent to the Shakopee Women's Prison. She was cited for a minor traffic violation. She didn't fully stop at a stop sign. And after she was pulled over, they realized that she had overstayed her visa. Within 2 weeks, she was sent to their home country of Mexico. And the father, the dad, went back with the mom as well. Now, they left their three U.S. citizen kids here in Minnesota to be with their aunt and uncle because it provided, they believed, a better future for their children. Passing this policy will allow a whole generation of mothers to drive without fear. It's not our role or in our power to change federal immigration policy, that we can be the leaders that we're asked to be, to step forward and address a need in each of our districts and across the state. This bill, as amended, does not take away from anyone. It gives a brighter future to many. I encourage passage to meet a public safety challenge, meet a workforce needs, to increase economic freedom and growth, and to build stronger families and a stronger state. So I appreciate the efforts of you, Representative Winkler, and those that have carried this issue in the past, and I encourage member support.
Any further discussion? I thank you so much, Representative Koznick, for those important words. I couldn't agree with you more about the safety and economic imperative, but there's also a moral imperative. We heard from four different faith leaders today, and I know this has been a high priority for the faith community really across the state, many, many religions and denominations, and I think their voices are important. In terms of other voices that we may not have heard from directly today, I want to call members' attention to letters of support for this bill from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, the Minnesota Agri-Growth Council. This is all in your packet. We heard from the Immigrant Law Center. They also have a written testimony, the Minnesota Budget Project, and United Food and Commercial Workers Local 663. There's also some additional written testimony from citizens as well. So with that, I would like to give our majority leader the last word, and then we will take a vote on the bill as amended. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank members for the time and consideration for the thoughtful engagement on this issue. and for being open to finding ways that we can work together and improve the lives of the people in Minnesota. I also want to thank the immigrants who spoke up today, the people who spoke up, the advocates, and all the work that we have done together over the last 2 years to bring this issue back, to reach out and to broaden it to as many people as possible and to find a path forward. One of the outcomes of the work in 2019 to pass this bill for me was building a relationship with advocates in the Worthington community. And after the 2019 session, we wanted to do a town hall there. And what they said was they didn't need a town hall on driver's licenses. What they needed was help to pass a school levy referendum so that there would be enough room in their schools for all the kids who were there. And I had a chance to meet the high school students. It was a United Nations of high school juniors and seniors. They represented three or four continents, multiple countries. And what struck me the most is that they sounded and acted just exactly like all the kids that I had ever known growing up in northern Minnesota. They were kids who couldn't wait to get out of that small town. There were kids who were annoyed with their parents. There were kids who loved Worthington and never wanted to leave. It was a whole big mix. And it was just very inspirational about what the future can mean in this state when we recognize the strength and vitality that new Minnesotans and new Americans bring to our communities. And so this bill doesn't address all of our immigration issues, but it does bring a little bit more humanity. It expands public safety, and it creates a space in Minnesota for people to follow the rules and do what everyone else does, which is to work hard, provide for their children, and find a way to create a better life in our community for all of us. So, members, I ask for your support today, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Majority Leader Winkler. And members, the motion before us is I will renew that motion that House File 1163. Be as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Mr. Dodge, please take the roll.
Chair Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Vice Chair Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, nay. Representative Barr?
No.
Barr, nay. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick?
I never did get
it. Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich?
No.
Heinrich, no. Representative Kosnick?
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason?
Aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy?
Aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson?
No.
Olson, nay. Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, nay. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 12 ayes and 5 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails. House File 1163, as amended, is moving to Ways and Means. Members, we had a couple of other small bills on the agenda, my bills, actually, and we will forego discussion and votes on those this evening. It's been a long day. I very much appreciate everybody sticking around for another 45 extra minutes than we had scheduled to really give this Representative Winkler's bill the due consideration it deserves and the full vetting of issues. So we will take those bills of mine up before the end of the week. We'll figure out exactly when, but we do not have to stick around for those. So with that, I want to thank everybody for a great discussion. I want to thank all of the members and those who testified. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.